Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Liverpool against Maribor in the Champions League, and Dejan Lovren as well. And let's speak with Neil Jones from the Liverpool Echo. Morning, Neil.
Morning, Steve. You okay, mate?
Thank you for joining me. We'll start with Lovren. There's a lot of stuff which is... it's a bit disturbing, really, in the papers today, talking about the murder threats to his family. It's got to the stage where clearly this has gone way beyond any just sort of normal criticism, and it's obviously affecting the player himself. So he's had conversations with the manager about it, but can you believe that any football fan would send a murder threat to a footballer?
Well, sadly, you can. Unfortunately, you know, it's not just football fans; it's people, isn't it? And the world at the moment is a place where strange things are happening. People are doing strange things, and football is just a reflection of society. I think it's absolutely disgraceful. Obviously, in particular, given Dejan Lovren's upbringing, his family history as well, and you know, growing up in the midst of a war in Bosnia where threats to his family were not just on Instagram, they were in real life, and obviously he can only be expected to take them very seriously because of the way he's grown up, the way his world was when he was a child and beyond. And it's just sad. It's sad that someone who obviously has gone through a tough time professionally is now also having that seep into his personal life as well. And listen, we all, I think every right-minded Liverpool fan would offer him their deepest support and hope that, you know, he can overcome these issues that he's having football-wise, and that we can see a little less of this kind of idiocy.
He's had a very hard time playing, hasn't he? And look, for any footballer, it's not like they want to be poor, is it? Sometimes they get into a rut and they just simply can't find a way out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, you know, years and years ago, you grow up before I was in journalism. You used to think the footballers didn't care, and you'd maybe say, "Oh, they're getting the money, and they're happy, and this and that." And you'll know as well as I do, Steve, if you've ever been in a mix zone or anything like that after a defeat, or you've been waiting for players to come through, you know how it affects them if they lose and if their performance isn't great. Dejan Lovren's no different. I think he's someone who's obviously very I think he's a harsh critic of himself as well, and I think he wants to do well. Maybe that's sometimes part of the problem with the mistakes he makes, that he tries very hard to rectify them and doesn't always do that. But it's difficult, isn't it? You know, the spotlight now, and listen, we're as guilty as anyone, you know, in the media and on, you know, shows like this and newspapers like the one I work for. We ask questions of players on a daily basis, never mind a weekly basis now. It's every day, it's relentless. And unfortunately, you know, we hold them to very high standards. And at the moment, Dejan's struggling. But as I say, you know, it's only a couple of weeks ago, isn't it, at Anfield that he had Romelu Lukaku in his pocket. So hopefully it won't be long before he's back in the team and producing some good performances.
Yeah, he can't be a bad player. For me, he's still one of Liverpool's best two centre-halves. And there isn't that much choice, is there?
No, there isn't. I fully agree with you. You know, he's someone you could maybe look at and say, okay, long term Liverpool need a better player than him, short term even. But I think he is a Premier League player. He's an international player. He's played Champions League. He's played, you know, many, many games in his career. You know, you're not a bad footballer. You just sometimes have bad games, and I hope there's a sense of perspective with that. I think a lot of Liverpool fans would like to see Lovren upgraded, but I hope that they can react a little bit more on a level-headed basis than some of the people who prowl social media.
He's obviously not going to play tonight. He wasn't involved in training yesterday. Philip Coutinho wasn't either. He's got an abductor muscle problem. But then again, it is Maribor, isn't it? So Liverpool whacked them for 7 last time round. Do you expect something similar, or will Maribor simply be determined not to be made fools of again?
Well, they will. They will be determined not to make fools of that. Whether they have the quality or the desire or the ability to do that remains to be seen. I wouldn't be expecting 7-0. I don't think you should ever expect 7-0. I certainly didn't in the first leg. Or the first meeting between the sides. I think I spoke to John Aldridge for his column on Monday, and he was saying that he doesn't expect that it's going to be a walkover this time. He says, you know, they'll come with, you know, a determination to keep it tight for at least you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, and see where they can get to. And we've seen teams do that at Anfield, haven't we? You know, they took Liverpool a while to break Huddersfield down at the weekend. They've struggled in other games this season. Think of Burnley, teams like that. So I wouldn't expect Liverpool to just ride over them. That said, if Maribor set up the way they did in the first game with the the left-sided centre-half and the left-back playing the way they did against Mohamed Salah, then I don't think it matters what they do, because I think they were that open and they were that sort of easy to carve through. I think Liverpool will be able to do so at will. And it's like you said at the top there, it's a bit of a luxury for Liverpool, I think, that they don't necessarily have to take a risk with Coutinho or with Lovren or even with, you know, I think Jürgen Klopp said that Joe Gomez and Alberto Moreno had little knocks yesterday as well. So if there's any doubts, I think they can shuffle the pack a little bit and still expect to come away with a victory.
What's your understanding of why we haven't seen more of Robertson so far this season here?
Yeah, well, I think it's two simple things. I think Moreno has simply got in front of him in the pecking order and has impressed with his training, with his performances in pre-season. And then obviously since he's come into the team, I think his form has been much better than it was obviously last season or even the season before that. And I think the other thing is that I think Robertson himself said that Jürgen Klopp likes to have sort of players that can cover positions on the bench. So he'd have, for example, he'd have someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain who could fill in three or four different positions, or he'd have a James Milner who can play two or three different positions. And Robertson is sort of, he's only there in case of a specific incident. You know, he's only there if Moreno gets injured. So it's almost not a waste of a position, but it's a risk of a position. It removes the option to have someone else on the bench. So I think also Liverpool have suffered a little bit because they went out of the League Cup, and I think he'd have played, he'd have been a League Cup left back.
Of course,
I think
yeah.
He might have played a few more games if Liverpool have had midweek games and Saturday games. But listen, I was a bit surprised. I was a bit surprised that A, they signed him, and B, that it's taken him sort of, I thought he'd go straight into the team almost at the start of the season. But I think he maybe is having to just adapt his style a little bit. He's a crosser of the ball, isn't he? You know, he's someone who likes to get down the left and put whip balls in, and Liverpool don't necessarily have players who are used to that and who are going to gamble on crosses. He might need to learn a little bit more to be a bit more of a builder and sort of, you know, triangles down the left-hand side. So I think we will see Robertson as the season goes on, but at the moment, Moreno's the man with the shirt.
So he's become very much a squad player, as has Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. And I do wonder whether he thought he'd be arriving at Liverpool and be just one of many vying for a spot. Yeah. What do you think his understanding was when he signed?
Yeah, well, that is an interesting point. I would very much like to ask Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain that at some point, because to me, it seems like he's just swapped Arsenal for Liverpool. He's literally just swapped. You know, his situation is exactly the same. He's just playing for a different club. You know, he's sort of getting the odd game or the odd half an hour on the right-hand side, or he comes off the bench, or he starts, you know, a League Cup game or a game that maybe is seen as of less importance. I think he's another one who's having to adapt. He's another one who likes to put crosses in. He likes to, you know, get to the byline and things like that. He maybe isn't the sort of the archetypal Liverpool attacking player who likes to play, you know, 1-2s around the box and quick sort of passing moves. But listen, he's very early in his career. He's only been here, 2 months. He's someone who I think will get more chances going forward. The question is whether I do think Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain fancies himself as a midfielder, a central midfielder in a three. And at the moment, I don't see any opening for him there in the Liverpool team. I think, you know, once Lallana's back after the international break, he comes into that equation. You've still got Chan, you've got Wijnaldum, you've got Milner, you've got Henderson, Coutinho. Where does Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain fit? I think at the moment, he's a backup for the front three. You know, maybe someone to come on second half of games when it isn't going Liverpool's way, or to come on for Mo Salah when it is going Liverpool's way. So it's an interesting one.
I can't wait to read that interview when you get it. I tell you what, it'd be fascinating to know. I mean, there are some players that you really want to know stuff about. He's one of them. Loris Karius, yeah. Karius starts tonight again. He gets all the Champions League games, but you sit there and think, well, what's the bigger picture for this lad? I don't actually remember Loris Karius making a big save yet for Liverpool, and yet he's played an awful lot of games.
Yeah, well, Liverpool goalkeepers don't tend to make a great deal of saves. It almost seems to be they either have nothing to do in games, or they have one thing to do and the ball beats them and it goes in. You know, I think there's a pretty damning stat of Simon Mignolet about the amount of shots he's faced and the amount of goals he's conceded, and I think it puts him near the bottom of the table in that sense. I think Liverpool just tend to, because they don't sort of, they never get battered in games, or very rarely get battered in games, they just tend to give up silly chances and easy chances to strikers. So I think that might explain it. Karius is a young lad, and he had a really, you know, difficult start to his Liverpool career last season, and you know, got himself in the team and got himself out of the team. And he still, I still think, despite he plays in the Champions League, I still think he is second choice at Liverpool. Simon Mignolet is still the preferred option for Jürgen Klopp. But he's a good chance. And I wonder what type of pressure it puts on Loris Karius, because he basically knows that if Liverpool don't go through in the Champions League, then that's his gig. That's his gig done, isn't it? You know, I think the same for Danny Ward in the League Cup. You know, he's thinking, God, if we don't win this game in the League Cup, where am I ever going to play again? So I think there will be a lot of pressure on Karius, but I think one thing he doesn't seem to lack is confidence. And, you know, he didn't have anything to do really against Maribor away. I wouldn't imagine him to be overworked this evening, although that could be famous last words from me. Hopefully he can, you know, get another clean sheet under his belt, get a bit of confidence, and Liverpool can take control of this group.
Neil, some really good stuff in the Echo today previewing the game as well, including a piece from Christian Walsh who's saying who's been missed the most, which I think is quite fascinating. Yeah. Coutinho, Mane, Klein or Lallana? Go on, pick one of them out. Who's missed the most?
Good question. I heard your caller just before, or your texter just before I came on air, who said it was like missing his dog on holiday with Lallana. I think it was meant affectionately with Lallana. I think Liverpool miss, out of everyone when he's not there, I think Mane is the one that Liverpool missed the most. And, you know, you think back to that Manchester City game when he was sent off and Liverpool were in that game, even if they were behind, they were in it with him on the pitch, and as soon as he went off, it was the bubble had burst, and then obviously a 3-game ban. And you can trace back Liverpool's problems to the moment his boot almost made contact with Ederson. So I think Mane is still the one that Liverpool really do miss, because I think having him and Salah on the pitch gives them a chance in any game. And I think the sooner they can get them two together, the better.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.